I hate to say it. I hate to say it. The Canucks are right back in it. Look, this team has threw away the first handful of games this year, but folks, the Vancouver Canucks are 4-1-1 in their last six. They have earned 9 of the last possible 12 points, while the rest of the division and the rest of just the Western Conference as a whole seems to completely flounder. Now, did the Canucks deserve to win tonight? Absolutely not. The Canucks were bad for about 35 minutes of this hockey game. Maybe we'll call that Mikhaev goal a turning point. Let's call it 33 and a half minutes of this game. The Canucks were not good. But they hung in there. You know, they ended up in a bad situation there where they were being badly outplayed, and it was a tie game. And they said, hey, we're still in this. Let's just go be the better team for 26 minutes and pull it a win. And that is exactly what they did. And big thanks to Spencer Martin. But let's go through this game, and then we're going to go through the game. We are going to go through my pluses, my minuses. We're going to go through a hot topic, hot take, and then we're going to go into the standings department, and then we're going to take your questions, the people. We're going to go to the people, as we always do. Folks, this is going to be about a 30-minute show tonight, as obviously I am quite late. I don't expect a big turnout, as I am quite late. I had a hockey game at 7, just awful timing. But tomorrow's show will be on time after the 4:30 start in Montreal, which should kick off the show around 7, 7.05, 7.10, somewhere in there. Canucks, Senators, November 8th, 2022. Terrible start, folks. Sens get on the board in the first minute. Drake Batherson is wide open. OEL gets beat on an icing. It's the first shift of the game after 2 days off. Your legs should be fresh, OEL. And he just gets burned. He just gets beat bad. Sloppy structure. Unfortunate. Ethan Bear had some rough go in the first period, especially he was probably under a microscope playing with Jack Rathbone. Gives up a prime scoring chance, then two more prime scoring chances off of some cross crease passes to the man in the slot. Just three high danger chances for the Sens that they don't capitalize on, unfortunately. And then Podkolzin takes an undisciplined penalty 150 feet from his own net. Canucks get caught on a change, and then Martin has to rob Drake Batherson. All this is 5 minutes into the hockey game, by the way. So the Canucks are just getting hemmed in all period. And then Bo Horvat just scores. Ethan Bear wrist shot from the point, hits Bo in the shoulder. The goaltender sort of does, you know, Cam Talbot does one of these, like, where's the puck? Like looking into the corner, thinking it deflected away. And no, it's in front of him. Bo Horvat tucks it in, and now we're tied. And then immediately, of course, Travis Hamonic, in his first game back against the Vancouver Canucks has to score a goal. Right. So he does just a clobber from the point. Hilarious. Just as the script writers would draw it up, and it's 2-1 after the first period. We go to the second period. So Sens have a great chance to get a 2-goal lead. Brady Tkachuk on a breakaway, Martin with a great save on him. And then Ilya Mikheyev takes it the other way, pulls the Uno reverse card on him, burns the defender, cuts to the net. Nice little move in tight, ties the game at 2. Tkachuk had another breakaway, another prime chance. Martin made the stop with the brain, with the noggin. Lost his bucket on the play, but it makes a save. And just like that, you know, the Canucks did turn it around a bit in the latter half of that period, as they needed to do. I didn't mention shots in the first period were 16-8 in favor of Ottawa. And then in the second period, they were 19-8 in favor of Ottawa. So after two, shots are 35-16. Not ideal. We go to the third period, though. Tie game. Bo Horvat, you see, he gets on the board right away. His second of the night. Connor Garland wins a board battle. Feeds Horvat out front. Bangs home the puck in tight. 3-2. Shots at this point, 35-17. Canucks getting doubled up in shots, but they do have their first lead of the night. And they make it a 2-goal lead as a power play expires. I thought it was Besser who tipped home the Oliver Ekman-Larsson shot, but I went and I wrote up all these. They gave the credit to OEL. Besser gets the second assist on it in his first game back. I guess it went off a Sens player or something along those lines. But Canucks are up 4-2, and things are feeling good. I'm listening on the radio at this point as I'm on my way to the hockey game, and Sens get within one, and it is a beauty goal from Stützle. He is coming in down the right wing, down the middle, plays it You know, a little pass over on the zone entry, plays it to the guy on the wall, and then just burns everybody, burns Ethan Bear, burns Tyler Myers. Puck comes to Stutzlow. Nice little beauty move in tight, goes upstairs, and now it's a one goal game, and things are scary because the Canucks just had a 2-goal lead if you weren't paying enough attention, and they're on the verge of blowing another one. But luckily, within the minute, Studnicka gets his first goal as a Vancouver Canuck, Jack Studnicka, unassisted, just a terrible, terrible, terrible giveaway by Eric Brandstrom, just a blind backhand pass a la JT Miller up the middle, right onto his stick, a shot that Cam Talbot should have had, but he didn't, and we're back to a 2-goal lead. Claude Giroux makes it interesting again with a little power play goal, empty net, 6-on-4. Just a shot that beats Martin clean, and then Petey ice it with an empty netter with about 45 seconds to play. Pluses, minuses. Let's start with the pluses. I don't have a lot written down here. The biggest plus of this game is the third period. And normally I wouldn't put so much stock into one period from a hockey team, right? Like, this is a game where the Canucks got outplayed for 40 minutes. They were the better team in the 20 minutes that counted. They won that period 4-2, and they won the game. This team has been so, so, so bad in the third period this year. Like, just egregiously awful in the third period. They've been outshot. There's been times they've been outshot 15-2 in the third period, 13-1 third period, whatever the numbers are. But the Canucks came out, and they actually won the third, which they have not done at all this year. They had 2-goal leads. They put them on the edge a little bit, but they did hold them, and they came out with 2 points in a game that they probably shouldn't have won, but they went out and they did earn it in the third period. Spencer Martin is a big plus. Sure, he allowed 4 goals on 41 shots. Hey, that's better than 900. And he was really good. He was really good. Do we talk about a goalie controversy? Let's see after tomorrow's game in Toronto. But I mean, Spencer Martin's the hot hand right now. Demko hasn't been playing very good, but Demko is still the better goalie. So we'll talk about it. And then the other plus is that the Canucks are right back in the mix, and we'll get to standings after this. Let's go over minuses. They got handily outplayed through 30 minutes by the Ottawa Senators. Guy, I mean, it's still the Ottawa Senators. They have lost 5 games in a row coming into this. This marks their 6th. The Canucks should be beating the Ottawa Senators, right? If this is the playoff team that is now, you know, the Senators are now 4-8. They were 4-2 at one point. Now they're 4-8 after losing 6 straight. But I mean, they just lost to the Flyers. They've lost to the Panthers. They're the Wild. And I mean, the Panthers are good. But you know what I mean, right? Like the Senators are just in a tailspin. They're not very good. Maybe they had a bit of a Ryan Reynolds bump, which made this game a little more interesting. Who knows? But yeah, the Canucks, you shouldn't be getting outplayed that handily by Ottawa. Where the shots are, you're literally getting doubled up on shots through two. That's a bad sign. The defense looked pretty rough at times, and that sort of plays into that first point. I don't think Stillman makes a difference there. I think it'd be nice to see Kyle Burrows back in the lineup, but the Ethan Bear, Jack Rathbone experiment, it went okay. There were some iffy moments. Ethan Bear had a couple of times where they zoomed in on him after a play because of a mistake that he might have made, which is unfortunate. He did play about 20 minutes. Jack Rathbone, the low minute guy, at just 13 minutes. Big part of that is he didn't play a single second of special teams while everyone else played a lot of special teams. So that's obviously going to impact it quite a bit. But he gets credit for 1 assist. He's a plus 1. 1 giveaway, no takeaways. And if we look analytically, we go expected. Well, let's go Corsi for 1. We'll use 5-on-5 as our metric. I mean, he was only at 5-on-5. While Jack Rathbone was on the ice, 19 shots against 8-4, and that's shot attempts, keep in mind. Expected goals while Jack Rathbone on the ice, Canucks were getting about 21%. So not great. Not a great game from him. And Ethan Bear, sort of in the same vein, at a 30% expected goal. So the Bear Rathbone pairing, they didn't play great. Again, playing with a new defense pairing, a new defense partner is tough though. We'll see if they stick with it. You know, it's a win. They plan, you know, they're not going to have a practice tomorrow, considering they're just playing tomorrow. And I think I said I said they're playing Toronto, but they're playing Montreal tomorrow. It was dumb. But yeah, wasn't great. That's kind of all the notes I had, though. I mean, there's not too much depth to pull from this game. It was a game where the Canucks got outplayed for 40 minutes, and then they still won. And that's a nice thing every once in a while. Let's have a couple of conversations. One, let's start with the standings, all right? Because the Canucks have found themselves at 4-6-3, which is bad. You know, let's start by saying that's not good. But 4-1-1, you know, they were, what were they, 0-5-2 at one point until that game in Seattle. 4-6-3 puts them 1 point behind Calgary. Again, there's still 70 games to go. 1 point behind Calgary. Who are off to a slow start at 5-5-2. They lose tonight to New Jersey in regulation. New Jersey is a wagon. They're 10-3. LA, 7-6-1 for 15 points. They're playing right now against Minnesota. That game's deadlocked at 0-0, but they have a couple more games played. Edmonton has a player in Connor McDavid who is scoring one goal per game. They beat the Lightning tonight to improve to 8-6. Like, they're not doing so hot either. And Seattle is number two in the division at 7-4-2. Right? Vegas is gone. Vegas has gone like the wind. They're 12-2. They are insane. They have a plus 20 goal differential. But like, the Pacific Division is pretty tight. And you go look at the Central, because you have Winnipeg at 17 points, Dallas at 17 points. They're doing good. You have Colorado floundering a little bit, right? 13 points in 11 games. They're 6-4-1. But Colorado's going to make it. But you look at the teams competing for these wild card spots. You have Chicago at 5-5-2. Chicago's not very good. You have Minnesota at 5-5-1. They're also at 500. Arizona at 5-6-1. Nashville at 5-6-1. And then St. Louis, who I would have thought might have been, you know, in a division that's not, you know, has a lot of sort of mediocre teams in it. Thought maybe St. Louis would make a push. St. Louis is a tire fire. They are 3-8 through 11 games, which I guess isn't that much worse than the Canucks, but it's 5 points fewer. So we are talking about a Western Conference that, for how bad the Canucks have played, they are by no means out of it, which is lucky, right? It is just lucky. Canucks came in tonight via the per the Athletic with a 33% chance of making the playoffs, which I think is pretty fair. And that only goes up tonight, considering they won this game and Calgary lost helps, even though I don't think Calgary's going to struggle for this long in the season. But, you know, you would have loved to see the Canucks have a hot start and then be way ahead of everybody and everyone else is playing catch up, but the Canucks aren't too far behind the eight ball at this point. And if we look at the wild card standings, technically the Canucks are, how many teams make the wild card? Two teams make the wild card. Technically the Canucks are 1 point out, with one or two more games played, depending on who you're looking at. So they just need to start winning some hockey games while these other teams are floundering. And try to build up maybe a bit of a buffer. That's my conversation for the night. Let's go to the people. We got about 15 minutes to go here. Let me pull up the comment machine and let's get into it. Hanna saying, we made Ryan Reynolds proud. Hey, he's cheering for the other team. I thought him making Gary Bettman say sugar mommy and sugar daddy. I think, did he say mommy or mama? Cause if he said mommy, that's so much worse. But having Gary Bettman say that is hilarious. And I think that has already made such a good impact on the NHL, which is awesome. And if he owns the Ottawa Senators, we will be jealous forever. Why is Tanner Pearson on the first line? Is he really on the first line? Did he get the, who got the ice time tonight? I wasn't looking at ice time. Tanner Pearson played 15:25. I wouldn't say that qualifies him as on the first line. Elias Pettersson had 17 minutes, but Horvat had 20 and a half minutes. He played the same as Ilya Mikheyev. He played the same as Brock Besser. I would say he's playing on the second line basically with those numbers. Although he didn't play much special teams, right? He didn't play much power play. So they were basically rolling two lines at even strength. But yeah, I am. My opinion on Tanner Pearson is pretty well known at this point. I have made it quite clear, and I will not be elaborating further out of respect for Tanner Pearson. David saying, good to get the W. Penalty kill looks really good until it doesn't. Yeah, I was listening on the radio on the way and to my hockey game, and I think they said, like, the Canucks have only had one game where they didn't allow a power play goal. Guys, that's not good. That's really bad. Where does that put the Canucks penalty kill on the year? Penalty kill at sort low to high, because that's where they'll be. Canucks are at 60.5%. So technically, it got a little worse tonight, clicking at only 60%. Going 3 out of 5 on the kill tonight. And both of those, I think they killed the first three and then they allowed the two when they're most important, which I would argue is not ideal. But hey, the penalty kill kept him in the game early. And then, you know, Pod Colson put the puck over the glass, which sucks. And then there was also the JT Miller call that, according to the radio, wasn't very good. I didn't see it because I was gone by then. So I just watched the goals when I came back. But yeah, the penalty kill, it can't be at 60% all year again if this team wants to win hockey games. Power play's good though, right? Power play's fifth best in the league right now at 28.3%. They go 0-for-3 tonight, but they still scored 6 goals, so no complaints there. Lincoln saying there must be something wrong with Demko. He's not playing like himself lately. Glad we have Martin as an amazing backup. That's just goalies. Goalies are, and Jason Bruff has always said it, goalies are voodoo, and I fully agree. Thatcher Demko is a phenomenal goaltender who has been so good, and he's having a rough stretch, right? He's in a slump. That's going to happen to every goaltender, right? It just sucks that it's happening at the start of this fresh season. I still fully expect Thatcher Demko to bounce back. I fully expect, you know, he'll get the start tomorrow and then he'll split those next two, with Martin, cause those are also back to backs. And then we can start to have some conversations, right? Because, you know, he'll have played basically 2 of the last 4. Martin will have played 2 of the last 4 cause of all the back to backs. I mean, if Demko gets like blown out in both of his starts, then we're going to have some real conversations about, you know, do you ride the hot hand? And goalie controversies are, it's a way of life in Vancouver. And we've had it too nice the last season without Markstrom there to create a goalie controversy. It's not Vancouver Canucks hockey without a goalie controversy. Gurjot saying Canucks have to score at least 5 goals to win a game. That was the plan all year, right? That was the plan all offseason. The plan all offseason was this defense sucks. It's probably going to suck, and it has. The Canucks are going to have to outscore their problems. So they go, they add Kuzmenko, they add Mikheyev, they build up a good fourth line, seemingly, and then they go out and get Studnicka, and they have some offensive weapons on defense, right? And Quinn Hughes and Jack Rathbone and now Ethan Bear. And, you know, Riley Stillman has always been an offensive first defenseman, no matter how mediocre he, you know, his play might be at either end. Yeah, that was the MO from day one, is this Canucks team is going to have to outscore their problems because they're going to have problems in their own end. And sometimes it works. Clifford saying, do you think the Canucks have turned a bit of a corner here, or have they just been getting lucky? I am very hesitant to say they have turned a corner, because let's look at their last 6 games, right? Their last 6 games, this is sort of the hot streak, right? They're 4-1-1. Let's look at tonight first. They got handily outplayed by Ottawa for 40 minutes. They still got out the win. That's great. However, they still got handily outplayed by Ottawa. You look back on Saturday against the Predators, and they were their old selves. They had a 3-0 lead that they blew. And they were the better team for most of that game on Saturday, right? This game sort of balances out what happened on Saturday. But the Canucks weren't, you know, fantastic. The game before that, the Bieksa game, 8-5 over Anaheim. Canucks still allowed 5 goals to Anaheim. But I think they did play very well that game. New Jersey beat Vancouver 5-2, but New Jersey's on fire. Sure, that's going to happen. They beat the Penguins. The Penguins have been struggling. They're 4-3-1, but I thought they were doing worse. Or they were 4-3-1 at the time of that game. Now they're 4-6-2. So the Canucks sort of started their downfall for the Penguins. So they're, you know, they're floundering. That was just the start of their floundering, really. And they beat the Kraken, who's a team that they should beat most of the time. So, I mean, all 4 of their wins are against teams who aren't playing very well right now. And even though the Penguins were playing well at that time, again, they haven't won since. So I'm hesitant to say they've turned a corner. I think they've been playing better, which is like starting to round the corner. But the Canucks are at the point where like the start they had, they needed to make a hairpin turn, and they are like just starting to lean in, right? So I'm a little hesitant. Beal Tubes, you see what happened to Kane? Scary stuff. I heard about it. I decided not to watch the video because I heard it was just like a skate cut and blood. And I remember Thomas Vokoun, and I will never get that image out of my head. And so I passed. But yeah, hopefully, you know, with all the Evander Kane stuff, regardless of that, you know, you never want to see a guy, stuff like that. Scary. Hopefully he's okay. I heard he's stable, which is good. I'm saying Bo Horvat gets more expensive every day. You're damn right he does. Bad for us and any other team that wants him. Good for Bo Horvat, though. He's going to make $9 million if he's going to score 60. Could you imagine if he scores 60 goals this year? And none of them have been like great shots or anything, right? Like they've just been him in the right spot, which is half of hockey, really. That's half of like that's what good goal scorers do. Good goal scorers go where the puck is going to be, and they finish. The problem. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I bet I can pull them up pretty quick here. He is shooting at a 25.5% clip. He is scoring on one, over a quarter of all of his shots. That's what, 12 goals on 47 shots. He's going to regress, right? He just is. But I mean, maybe, you know, maybe that he uses this to propel himself. Maybe he does score 40. And good on him if he does. But yeah, he's gonna price himself out of this city. Let's see here. Grigio's saying we need to trade Garland or Myers to make room for Kuzmenko. Probably you're gonna have to move somebody. Whether it's Garland, whether it's Besser, whether it's Myers, they're gonna need some cap space to make that work. Justin's saying Canucks look bad in the first two periods. Martin kept us in it, and that's what a good goalie does. He gives you a chance to win. And, you know, you could say 11, four goals, but I don't think anyone's arguing, the effect that he had. I mean, he's second star of the game for a reason. Martin was great. Strauss saying Garland was amazing tonight. I didn't notice, because I missed the third period, but you know, two assists, he was a +3. Love that. You know, Garland's one of those guys who will just quietly put up points. You know, he's at 8 points in 12 games, right? 8 over 12 times 82. He's on pace for 55 points, which is just sort of what he does, right? He had 52 points last year in 77 games. You know, the previous year he was on like a 60-point pace. Garland will just, he'll just produce. He'll just put up points. That's what he does. Justin saying the Blues have 8 straight losses. Oh, that is, that hurts. They're going to turn it around. It's just whether it's too little too late, right? Like we knew the Canucks would turn it around at some point. It's whether it's too little too late. They are getting, God, they lost to the Preds, the Oilers, the Jets, the Habs. The Flyers. There's some rough losses in here. Although the Flyers are 7-3-2, which is quite surprising. Let's see here. JC Van Damme, does the high school drama with Rutherford and Boudreau get worse or better as time goes on? I'm actually surprised things have gotten this far. I think these are two smart hockey men who have been in the business forever. Literally. I'm amazed that this kind of stuff isn't worked out behind closed doors more. It really is just sort of like a throwing of blame, where Rutherford sort of has free reign to say, yeah, I think our system's the problem. And Boudreau can't really go back and be like, no, the roster you handed me sucks, because then he's saying that directly basically to his players, which probably wouldn't be good for morale. We know Boudreau won't be here next year. Does he make it through the year? I mean, is he trying to get him to quit? Like, what's going on? I don't know. I don't really have a good take on the whole Rutherford-Boudreau thing. I don't like the feel of it. It feels a little slimy on the part of Rutherford. I don't love that, but who knows? Marjorie, who do you think wins the game tomorrow? We're going right to tomorrow. Love it. Canucks, Habs. Montreal is 6-6-1. Cleanly at 500. Canucks are on a back-to-back. Starting goalie is in Thatcher Demko. This is a prime opportunity for a Thatcher Demko bounce back. It's a prime opportunity for Thatcher Demko to go in, kill it, allow a single goal, Canucks to put up a few. And I mean, if that happens, the Canucks road trip is already a blazing success. And then it's all a matter of, you know, pulling one more game out of the last three. And you know, Buffalo might be a good candidate for that, even though I think they're doing okay right now. They're 7-6. I think Boston is killing. I mean, Boston's 11-2. That's going to be a tough game. But, you know, maybe you have a chance to pull one of those last games against the Leafs, Bruins, or Sabres, and you go 3-2 on the road trip, and everyone's happy. So I'm hoping the Canucks pull it out. But back-to-backs do worry me a fair bit. Although it's a back-to-back for Montreal as well. They played against Detroit today and went to a shootout. And they did play Jake Allen, which means that they should have... Does that mean they'll have, is Montembeau their backup? Yeah, so we'll see. We should see Sam Montembeau tomorrow, who has been good this year, 2-1-1 with a 9.28. So should be a good one. Let's see here. Evan's saying, do you think Rutherford's being too honest now the Canucks lost? Rutherford makes himself look more like a villain, even worse than Messier. I think he was sort of, I feel like maybe he was setting things up for a bang, right? If they lose this game, like these two games, maybe something happens, or like a big loss against Toronto. But I don't know. I don't think he's being too honest. Let's see here. Chris saying the Canucks are trying to play 80s Oilers hockey in 2022. Good luck with that. I don't hate the philosophy of run and gun, try to score 5 goals a game, because if it works, it's a blast. It's a blast. But most coaches don't like it very much. I'm saying trading Bo Horvat shouldn't be a conversation. The guy who started all the OG, the captain, you can't trade that man away. The guy, okay, I have a couple of problems here. Trading Bo Horvat shouldn't be a conversation. Well, if it isn't, then the Canucks are locked in to, what is it, like 7 or 8 years at, what is it, $8 million, $9 million? Can they afford that? That makes it tough. The guy who started it all, started what? Like, genuinely, what, like, this team has been just the epitome of mediocrity for the past, you know, 8 years, 9 years. He hasn't started much, you know, one good playoff run where they made it to the second round. That's all that's been started. So I don't think that should be the reasoning. Even though, yeah, he's playing great right now. Nan saying, is Rutherford protecting his GM when he criticizes Bruce Boudreau? I think he's sort of just like defending management and trying to preemptively throw Boudreau under the bus. Because, you know, he won't be here next year. And then they can have their coach in. It's just a known thing that he won't be back. Which is fine. I mean, it's just the way she goes. Japan says, until the Canucks start winning 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row, no praise. All right. No praise. We're not allowed to praise. The Canucks won today. And that's it. We only state facts here. However, if they win the next two games, then we can start to praise. Agam saying, Miller's such a stat patter. Barely noticeable for the right reasons, but always gets points. JT Miller had like the highest amount of second assists last year. He had like 20 second assists, which is still, he still had like 70 primary points. Or maybe even 80, but he had so many secondary assists last year, which is big. I mean, he's playing on that basically power play QB, but he gets an assist tonight. I mean, it's just a pass on an empty netter, but you're out in those situations. You're allowed to get those. Alan's saying, what are the chances of the Canucks winning back-to-back games against Montreal tomorrow? I can tell you that the odds are Canucks are -130 on the money line. Habs are +110. Don't gamble. Don't get it twisted. But So that puts the Canucks basically at like a 55, 52, 53, somewhere in there, percent favorite. Maybe a little higher, maybe 55, especially if the Habs are plus 110. So maybe closer to 57%. So I would say about that likely. Lots of Boudreau stuff. Brown saying, I don't know how replacing Boudreau would fix our immediate problems anyways. I don't think it would. Who would you rather have instead of Bruce? I don't know. Bruce made some questionable decisions, but that isn't why we are bad. The roster is playoff caliber. I think the roster is playoff caliber. I think the team's playing like trash. I genuinely think this roster, I think the offense is good enough to carry this team to the playoffs, especially if Thatcher Demko and Spencer Martin are playing to their caliber. Spencer Martin is, Thatcher Demko isn't. If Thatcher Demko is a 9-15 like he did last year, this team has like 6 wins, 7 wins, somewhere in there, and it's an entirely different story. If the offense works harder and moves their feet and the defense moves their feet, this team has 6 wins, 7 wins. I don't think, like, the roster construction isn't great. It's not, I don't think it's a Stanley Cup contender. I think it's like the 15th best team in the league, but it's a team that can make it if everyone plays to their strengths. And part of that's on the coach, right? That's technically what he is accountable for, is getting the most out of his players. I don't think it's his fault that he's not getting the most out of his players. I think it's the players' fault. And hopefully that's turning around here and we don't have to worry about it too much. All right. What else we got? Beal Tubes saying, the thing about trading Bo is I don't know how you replace him. You probably don't. He's a great second line center. UFAs next year are thin. Nobody on this team can take a spot. Yeah, you'd have to convert JT Miller back into a center, which seems risky. Or you'd have to make some sort of move for one, which you're not going to be able to do. But if you don't trade Bo Horvat, you look at the cap scenario the Canucks are in, because you're paying JT Miller $8 million a year. Elias Pettersson is going to need a new contract after next season, and he's going to get paid $10, $11 million, and he's going to earn every penny. Brock Besser still makes, what, like $6.5, $7, something in there. You know, you got Garland making a chunk of change. You have Oliver Ekman-Larsson making 7 point whatever. You're just going to run out of money. So that's where you got to take it into account. Because again, the best team in the NHL, every team gets allocated the exact same amount of money. In this case, $82.5 million. The best team in the league is going to be the team that gets the most value out of that money. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. But, you know, it all comes down to maximizing every dollar. And you can overpay the good players, right? You know, overpaying Elias Pettersson by $1 million, if that's the case, whatever, right? That's fine. He's worth it. Overpaying, you know, your lower down the lineup guys really adds up really fast. So we're going to wrap up there, folks. If you enjoyed, hit like, hit subscribe, do the whole thing. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock-ish after the Habs and Canucks. Have a good night. See you next time.